Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, freelance journalist Steve Freese, an expert on all things Las Vegas, will join us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Sean Gray, Bob Kroll, and Todd Taxpayer Bailey. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is
Nevada Newsmakers. We are very pleased to welcome back to the program journalist Steve Freese. He has worked for many newspapers around this country and around the world, including the New York Times. He's also the host, along with Miles Smith, of the Strip podcast, which is one of my favorites. He also is a blogger. Pleasure to have you back on the program. And the first thing I want to ask you about, Steve, is the Cosmopolitan. It just opened. Your thoughts on it?
Well, it's a beautiful property. It's an impressive property, and they did a very interesting job with a very strange piece of land. It's only about 8 or 9 acres, and most of these properties are like about 40, 50, sometimes 100 acres. So what they put 3,000 rooms on a 9-acre property had to be very compressed. And what they did was they chose to turn that into their asset, which is they're a cosmopolitan place. And what it means to be a cosmopolitan location, what you think of when you're in New York, is everything is very concentrated. So everything's right there, and it feels like there's a lot of energy, because even if there aren't that many people in the place, it's still feels like there are a lot of people, and it just has a good vibe to it. It's very hard to judge the Cosmopolitan, however, without comparing it to City Center, which is right next door, because, of course, City Center was supposed to be a game changer, but also because City Center had the same design concept, which was to build a New York-style metropolitan kind of place. Cosmopolitan succeeded. City Center is still struggling quite a bit.
You know, it's interesting. I remember I was given a speech at the Bellagio and went over to City Center soon after it first opened and came back to Bellagio and suddenly felt that Bellagio was warmer and friendlier than City Center was. Your thoughts about the design of City Center and how it works for you?
Well, there are essentially two theories going on here. The Bellagio theory, which is Steve Wynn's theory, and which he also uses at Wynn and Encore as well. And then there is the theory that the folks that presently run MGM Resorts are trying to put forward. The theories are this. On the one hand, there's the sense that the people from the urban centers, the educated, artsy people, want to go on vacations to places that feel and look like the cities they just came from. Or there are other people who just don't live in New York or don't live in major cities who want to go and have an urban experience. So you've got places like City Center and Cosmopolitan, which are, you know, a lot of hard surface surfaces, a lot of sort of stone and marble and glass. And then there's the theory that Steve Wynn and others like him have come up with, which is that people want to go on a vacation somewhere where they're being pampered, where they have a bit of fantasy, a bit of whimsy, where everything is soft colors, flowers, very comfortable. You know, it is interesting to walk from, I assume you probably walked from Bellagio through Vidara, which is their non-gaming hotel property, on over to Aria. And when you do that, you get that full transition, because Vidara does have that sort of, you know, transitional feeling. There is some softness to it. But these are two different ideas. The question is, are there enough people for both? We know that there are plenty of people who want to come to do the Bellagio Wynn Encore type of luxury. We're just not sure yet if there are enough people, if there are two different populations, and there are enough people who are interested in going to a place where, you know, one of the things about City Center in particular is that those big, huge spaces can be beautiful, but they're not spaces you necessarily want to sit down and hang out in. They're places to pass through. Whereas at Bellagio, you want to sit down in that lobby and look around. You want to sit down in even in the casino and just feel sort of comforted by the things around you. That's my theory. I mean, but I do know that there are plenty of people who do like both. So the question that Vegas faces right now is, are there enough people? Is Jim Murren and John Unwin from Cosmopolitan, are they right that there are enough people who want the Cosmopolitan, you know, hardcore city experience? It remains to be seen.
You are the person that coined the phrase Vidara death ray. Would you explain that briefly?
I was not. That was a phrase that the Review Journal reporter had gotten from a bartender or some attendant at the pool. But Vidara is sort of an interesting, that particular story is an interesting symbol of how, you know, when it comes to MGM Resorts, in some cases, well, if anything can go wrong, it will. And this has sort of been the case since I've come to Vegas and covered the city. I mean, this is a company where the Bellagio had an outage and they didn't have any redundancy, so the entire hotel shut down for 4 days in 2004. Siegfried and Roy, the tiger. And now, you know, this Vidara thing is just another example of unintended consequences. They have a very strange structure there where during the summer, when it's very hot out, it's an all glass and it's a curved building. So when the sun hits the side of the building, it refracts onto the pool and it's amplified. And it moves around the pool deck. So there are times during the day when people are literally being roasted, and there's a fellow who says that his hair was burned up. There's a fellow that says that that the plastic cups were melting. I've been there. I've seen it when it was really hot out, and it's miserable. It's not a real issue. I mean, it's just another one of the things that the media likes to play with, because it's so bizarre that they built this, you know, many million dollar resort, and it's got this odd design flaw. It almost feels like only MGM could have had this problem.
That is the definition of unintended consequences. More with Steve Freese when we come back.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Have urgent needs. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Fries. He is a journalist of national renown and international renown. He's also a blogger along with his partner, Miles Smith. He's a co-host of the Strip podcast, but he also is a blogger as well. And I wanted to continue on this conversation about City Center because the Harmon was supposed to be a very tall building. They cut it off because of design flaws, and now the discussion is that they may just take that building out. What would be the consequences of that?
This is another example of anything could go wrong at will for MGM. I don't know what their, you know, what deal they made with the devil that they get these this many problems. But in this case, you've got a building. It was built by Lord Norman Foster. It was designed by Lord Norman Foster, a very, very esteemed architect, probably one of the most important architects in the world, who was persuaded, along with a number of the other architects at City Center, to build buildings there. And these are people who never came to Vegas, who probably never would have considered going to Vegas, but they were persuaded by the upscale elegance and, you know, this, whatever it is that MGM had to sell them. So they go ahead and they start building this building, and they find out that it was supposed to be, I believe it was supposed to be 47 stories. My numbers might be a little off, but something like 47 stories. They figured out somewhere in the middle of the construction that the rebar that was installed into the building was not correct and could not support that tall a building. So they decided to cut it in half, and then they also decided not to open it when City Center opened in December of 2009 because they didn't really need the capacity and they weren't finished with the project. So they pretty much finished the outside. They left the inside empty. They have not really done any construction on it. It's now in litigation. They've basically turned it into a $500 million billboard where they put signs up kind of telling people who would be going into Cosmopolitan where the cool stuff is in City Center. And in the meantime, there is this discussion about knocking it down. They're in litigation with the builder. It's not clear whether they really want to knock it down or if they're just saying that because of the litigation. But the fact of the matter is that it's just a bizarre... I mean, nobody's heard of this. I mean, they're going to... If they do finish it, it'll be about 28 stories tall. It's this little stump of what it was supposed to be. It's got to be incredibly embarrassing for the people who convinced this very, very esteemed architect to design for Las Vegas. And, you know, it's one, another one of those examples of the elite in the East and so on being able to look at Vegas and say, oh, look, you know, it's Vegas. What do you expect? But, I mean, the fact is that they don't really need the rooms. They certainly don't need any more rooms. And what it would be at this point would be just a hotel. They kind of got rid of the condos when they cut the place in half, and they were happy to do that because they weren't selling the condos anyway. And so they cut the place in half, and the discussion is if they remove it, they might actually open up City Center to pedestrian walkers, pedestrians who can then see Aria from the street, and it might make it a more interesting place for tourists to go. Right now, Aria is very, very far back from the sidewalk of the Strip, and it kind of, to a lot of people, just looks like something far away. They don't even know what it is.
Let's change topics here, because I don't want to let this opportunity to go by without talking a little bit about the Strip podcast. You and your partner Miles host this and discuss all things Vegas, sometimes in a somewhat raucous way. And then in the middle, you invariably do a wonderful interview where you ask the toughest questions of your guests. How do you get these guests, and how are you so fearless in the way you question them?
Well, you do it too. I mean, I've seen you with Sharon Engel and these kinds of people. No, I mean, you know, look, entertainers, people who are, you know, in the business of entertainment or also on the Strip who are running these businesses, they're real people. I mean, they have ideas, they have opinions, and they say things that need to be challenged. And I don't necessarily think that interviewing a major celebrity like Jerry Lewis or Steve Wynn or any of these people, that they they necessarily get a pass. Sometimes they say things that are outrageous. Sometimes they start talking about things that you don't expect them to. And I think it's just very important that you listen to them. And I think one of the things that comes up when I do these interviews with some of these folks is because we're doing this sort of a long form, these interviews are typically never any less than about 20 or 25 minutes long, people get comfortable. They start to let their guard down. And they get surprised because most of the time, celebrities in particular aren't asked to talk at length about anything. So when they get the chance to, they frequently will take it. I have a reputation over the course of the years that I've been in Vegas that I know a lot of publicists and entertainers. And, there is a point at which some of these folks have figured out that while I might not be the easiest interview, certainly there are a lot of people listening, and other media take note of things that happen on our show. So I guess they find it worthwhile. I don't necessarily ask them while I'm doing the interview, why are you talking to me? Although maybe I should.
One of the most interesting interviews of the last few months was with Frank Sinatra Jr. I just thought that was a fabulous interview, and folks can go online and download it from iTunes. And especially when he talked about the kidnapping, but also in the way he spoke. He was so stylistic in the way he spoke. It was a very unusual style. Did that strike you in the same way?
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things that's interesting is when you say somebody like Frank Sinatra Jr., you think, oh, God, this guy's just talking to these old hacks that, nobody else wants to talk to. Well, first of all, that may be true that nobody else is all that interested in what they have to say. But these are people who have lived and seen Vegas history, and they know a lot. And certainly anything related to Frank Sinatra himself is fascinating. So when it comes to somebody like Frank Sinatra, somebody like Cloris Leachman, somebody like Mel Brooks, somebody who's been around a long time, who might have a little bit of an axe to grind, it's always fun to kind of get them to do it. With Frank Sinatra Jr., what was interesting was how wistful he was about his life, how distant, how strange his relationship with was with his father, that he would, basically come right out and tell me on an interview that he really has no idea whether his father loved him, cared about him, and that he, feels like he basically has not had a successful life. I mean, Frank Sinatra Jr. is not nothing. He's not Frank Sinatra, but he has a show that's quite good. He makes money. He gets on to TV. He's not completely nothing, and certainly now at this point in his life, he's past his prime. But there was a point where people were interested in him a little bit more than they are now. But there's Frank Sinatra Jr. telling me how sad his life is, and Cloris Leachman asking me, what people my age think of her, and it fascinates me. I find the show is not just old timers, obviously. But I do find some of these people who have been out of the limelight for a little while to be really interesting, because these are people who, when they were in their prime, would have been very hard to get to talk to.
And that's where we have to leave it. Steve, always a pleasure to talk to you. Love the Strip podcast. Folks should download it free of charge from iTunes. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
The prices will rock. The cars will roll. At Auto Show 2011, Reno's biggest car show takes center stage this weekend only in the Reno Sparks Convention Center. This is it. Your one and only chance to see all of the models from Reno's top 17 dealers as they compete for your business with their best incentives yet. Auto Show 2011, this weekend only, Friday through Sunday at the Reno Sparks Convention Center with free admission. Oh yeah, it's gonna rock.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Todd Taxpayer Bailey, chairman of Jobs for Nevada PAC, is here. Bob Kroll, the mayor of Carson City, Mr. Mayor. And Sean Gray, executive director of the Washoe County Democratic Party. We're taping this on Monday the 10th. And so this is just after the weekend with a terrible shooting of Representative Gabrielle Giffords. And the New York Times today has a story by Jeff Zeleny and Jim Rittenberg. In the shock of the moment, the politicking stops until it doesn't. Aides to Sarah Palin angrily rejected suggestions that she's had some responsibility for the angry political climate that served as a backdrop to the shooting. Some Democrats said Ms. Palin should at minimum apologize for political tactics, like putting out a map that placed crosshairs on Ms. Gifford's district. Your thoughts, Todd, on this?
Of course you're going to come right to me on this, and I was ready for you this morning. I agree with the sheriff in that county in Arizona who said that all of us need to do a little soul searching, okay, and think about what we're saying to each other in this very important debate that we're having. Just last week, you know, Senator Reid went on television and said, oh, those Tea Partiers, they're going to go away. They're nobody, essentially. And just after the...
Well, actually, no, what he said was, he didn't say they're nobody. He said that they would go away after the economy recovers. And I disagree with him, but that's what he said.
Yeah, but essentially, he was dismissing people in the Tea Party, okay? And the head of Plan, after the election, went out to the press and said that if we didn't have a corporate income tax, there was going to be bombs going off all over Nevada. Now, he walked that back in the next sentence and said, oh, figuratively... But clearly, this language is all over the place. I personally was a little uncomfortable with some of the rhetoric that went on the last year and started to dial what I was saying back because I realized that some of this was going to get out of control. And I think all of us need to do a little bit of soul searching. That's not going to turn down the volume on the debate, and we're going to have those debates. But clearly, when you have an environment where people in the store or around you are saying these things, and someone who is mentally unbalanced, as this individual clearly was, they'll act on them.
One of the things I want to jump in here, you know, Fox News, for example, was not around, you know, at the time of the Kennedy assassinations, Martin Luther King. So there is precedent prior to talk radio or a conservative TV or a liberal TV, for that matter. But your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I think to a certain extent, our political process is teaching people to treat opponents as enemies, and I think that when you do that, you raise the level of rhetoric into terms more military than political, and I think that's a dangerous move. And I think that it's incumbent upon leaders, and I look at myself as one, to say, to be an example for people, to say there's a way to be passionate, there's a way to get your point across without being vitriolic, without being hateful, and without using inflammatory, insightful language. And I think that, you know, leaders need to step up and say there's a better way to do things. And the last thing I'd like to say is that I think that a large part of what we need to teach people is, you know, our country has a constitution, and it's a great constitution. The fundamental, to me, fundamentally, it gets, our country is successful because we have faith in our institutions and our government. And when that faith starts to go away, we really do ourselves a disservice. And so I think that part of the education process in our United States is saying, you know, we need to have more faith in our institutions and our people, and more respect for what goes for our government. And that's not to say that we're going to agree with what it is, but for the most part, I think that most politicians have the good of the country, the good of the people in mind. It's a different way of getting there. We need to then make the next argument and say there's a better way of presenting things. There's a better way of doing it.
Sean?
You know, I'm familiar with the piece that Sarah Palin's PAC put out a couple months ago that had the crosshairs on the certain districts. And while I'm not going to pin the blame of what happened on Saturday just on Sarah, I agree with these two gentlemen that it's the responsibility of everybody to monitor what you say and step back and think if somebody who is impressionable or mentally unstable could take this to mean a different meaning than what I'm wanting it to mean. And I also think it's funny, and it hasn't really been talked about, that, you know, there are parent TV councils that go after networks for using too much violence or strong language in television programming. And I'm wondering why these organizations fall silent when you have these politicians and these campaigns run such violent messages across. You know, the crosshairs are a symbol of, you know, targeting somebody and taking them out. And I don't think that kind of language at all should be in our political dialogue anymore.
Yeah, I just have one more thing to say on this, is because I disagree with the idea that it's talk shows or Fox News or anything like that. Those contribute. But it's when an individual is walking in their own community at the grocery store or anywhere else and hears people around them talking like this, that's when they really start to make the move, in my mind, in that direction. It's not the media. It's their community. And clearly, a lot of communities in Arizona and across the country have a lot of this discussion going on.
Get the last word, Bob.
No, I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, it gets down to education. It gets down to teaching people that there's a better way. There's a better way to provide to participate in civil discourse in the United States. And if we're not careful, we're gonna undermine the very things that made this country great. If we're not careful about how we present ourselves,
and that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all for a very thoughtful discussion. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Got him all the games and apps.
Thank you.
And her, the perfect multitasker.
Thank you.
But you got her, another picture frame. Don't worry, Cricket's giving you a second chance to save the holidays with incredible deals on Android and BlackBerry smartphones. Try getting that without a contract. Plans start at a true rate of just $55 a month for unlimited talk, text, web, and nationwide 3G data. So call 1-800-717-9982 for one last chance to save.
You're forgiven.
So smart. So Cricket.
Free bankruptcy answers. At Laub & Laub, we've been giving you real answers right now. Since 1965, we're Laub & Laub. You shouldn't have to pay to get your legal questions answered. Free legal answers now.
You already know, Evergreen is far and away the finest carpet cleaning service in Northern Nevada. However...
You know, I wish you guys could do something with wood floors.
I'm on it.
Huh?
Now, complete cleaning of all wood floors, only from Evergreen Carpet Care. We've got the expertise and the specially designed machines to safely clean your wood floors down to the original luster, and we can even refinish them.
You did it!
Like I said, I'm on it.
For the ultimate in cleaning, it's Evergreen Carpet and Wood Floor Care.
Hi, I'm Trina Stevens with Internet Auto Rent and Sales, your new car alternative store. When you drive a new car off the lot of the new car dealership, it loses up to 40% of its value. That's why smart buyers buy 1 to 2 year old vehicles instead. Most of these cars are still under factory warranty and all have 100,000 mile warranties available. Internet cars look like new and drive like new, but are priced 30 to 40% less than new. Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference at Internet Auto Rent and Sales?
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Mike Wolden will be here. He's the head of the Department of Health and Human Services for the state of Nevada.